Welcome to our sermon series entitled Never the Same, a study through John's Gospel. In the book of John, we see Jesus encounter men and women from different social, moral, and religious backgrounds. Jesus responds to each person according to his or her need and invites them into a relationship with him. When someone accepts that invitation, they are left never the same. Open your Bible to the book of John, and let's begin.
Jesus was about halfway through his public ministry. It was just before the second Passover, and he went with his disciples across the Sea of Galilee into a wilderness area. And sometimes when we read the Gospels, we don't read them the way they want to be read. They were in a wilderness area. So, I don't know, think of your favorite state park. And there were 10,000 people there. And they came for different reasons. Some people came because Jesus was just an attraction. Whenever he was around, people wanted to go see this phenomenon. It was like a rock star. People just wanted to be around him. Some people went because they were desperate. They had something that they couldn't cure, or a family member had something they couldn't cure. And they knew that people had been to Christ and that Christ had healed them. So in this 10,000 people, there is a whole number of people who are desperate. Then there's a group of people that they're just there looking for a way to get Christ in trouble. They're just there to listen and watch him and see if they can't find him doing something that they could prosecute. And then there was a group of people there that had been touched by Christ. Their lives were changed. They had been healed. And they just liked being around Christ. They liked feeling the presence of God when they were around Christ. And now you got 10,000 of these people. 5,000 men plus women and children. And Jesus looked out at this 10,000 people and he said to Philip, his apostle, I want to feed these people. Well, Philip kind of chuckled. And Jesus said, no, I'm serious. I want to feed them. And Philip says, that's crazy. It would take more than the average person's yearly income to feed this crowd. Now, where do you think we're going to get that much money? And if we got that much money, where would we be able to buy the food in the first place? This is East Harbor State Park. And Jesus said, well, what do you have? They said, well, we got a couple of biscuits here and a couple of small fish. And Jesus said, that will do. Give them to me. And they handed these few biscuits to him, and they handed him these few fish, and he raised his eyes up to heaven, and he prayed. And John tells us that he began to break the bread and break the fish, and it was enough to feed the entire multitude that day and take up leftovers. The the people who ate that dinner, they liked it. It'd be a deal. If we make him a king instead of the Roman governors and the children of Herod, we could have something good going here. And that night, while they plotted that, for the next day, Jesus and his 12 passed over the sea and went back to Capernaum. They got up in the morning and they started looking around and said, "Hey, where is he?" I think the church should learn something from this. Jesus refused to do politics. Do you hear this? Government doesn't do religion very well. The church has to do that. But guess what? The church rarely does government very well. We need to leave that. I believe in the separation of church and state. Jesus did. He refused to be co-opted by a political agenda. So the next time you think about writing that nasty email, would you think about Jesus saying, "I don't do that stuff. I've got something more important to do." Okay, would you just think about it? And so they got in boats and they came across the sea and they found him. And they said, "Hey, we kind of like the deal yesterday. You know, Moses did this for the children of Israel for a long, long time. And if you're really a prophet like Moses, you ought to be giving us a free lunch every day the way Moses did." Those people are still around. They only love Christ for what they can get out of him. And Jesus said, "Yeah, you misunderstand. First of all, Moses didn't give them that bread. My Father gave that to them." And then Jesus said, "My Father has given you something better than they ever got. My Father is giving to you the bread of life." And then if you read this early part of this chapter, 12 times Jesus Christ called himself the bread of heaven or the bread of life. 12 times he said, "If you want to understand me, there's something about bread that will give you an insight." But they weren't satisfied with that. And finally, Jesus said a very hard thing to them. He said, "If you don't get it, I'm going to have to startle you." Remember I told you Jesus is loving, but he's not comfortable. He said to them, "Stop working for the bread that perishes and start thinking about the bread that leads to eternal life." And then they said, "All right, give us the bread that leads to eternal life." And Jesus said to them, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any part in me." Now, come on, that's unpleasant. Huh? That is just unpleasant. And people heard it in an unpleasant way. "Unless all 10,000 of you come up here and start taking bites out of me and chewing it down and swallowing it, you don't have any part of me." That's what they heard. But is that what he was really saying? was he saying something like this? You want bread that just sustains your body for another day. You just want to have a lunch that helps you live another day. But your soul is important too. And the food that you eat, no matter how good it is, I don't care if you're having steaks and baked potatoes from the Brown Derby, that doesn't sustain your soul. Yeah, it's good for your body, but you are more than a body. You are an eternal soul. And you people have to start thinking about feeding your soul. And what bread does for your body, Christ said, I'm going to do for your soul. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? Are you offended? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Jesus is saying, I'm not asking you to cannibalize me. If you did, it's still the flesh. It doesn't profit you anything. What I'm asking you to do is receive the Spirit that I want to give you. Your soul needs it. And I'm asking you to accept the teachings that I'm giving you. They'll make all the difference in the world for you. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the very beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, listen, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father. And Jesus stopped being a rock star that day. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Do you believe that Christ speaks to us in ways that challenges our willingness to listen? Or do you believe Christ only speaks in ways that are pleasant, easy, and encouraging? I wonder, how can he speak to you? Do you have a heart that trusts him enough that he can actually speak to you in hard ways? The teaching was a deal breaker. They simply said, I'm out. If that's the way you're going to be, then I'm out. I find it ridiculous that you would say that to me. I find it ridiculous that you would expect such a thing of me, and I'm out. Do you have deal breakers with Christ? You kind of say, Christ, if you will stay within these perimeters, I'll be your follower. But if you get out of these perimeters, I have the option of opting out. Church? Has Christ ever spoken to you in a way that's offensive? You say, what do you mean? All right. Have you ever heard a teaching of Christ that annoyed you? and said, I don't think I should have to do that. I know you have. Some of you have spoken to me plainly. When Christ says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, is that offensive to you? Church? You say, yeah, that's easy for you to say, but you don't know who I have to do unto others to. Church? We filled out our paperwork for this housing project we're going to do. We're going to build a brand new house for this family. I actually had someone say to me, why do they deserve a brand new house? I said, because Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Does that offend you? Does it offend you when Jesus said, lend to somebody and don't expect them to pay you back? See, Jesus says stuff that if we really listen to it, and we really say, I'm going to try to do this, it gets really, really edgy. Church? But he also said, don't make up your mind too quickly. It is the Spirit who gives life. Listen to what he's saying. Before you decide whether this is too hard for you and you're willing to do it or not willing to do it, take a little time and let my Spirit work with you. He's going to give you life that you don't have. Do you get this? When Christ challenges us, he says, just sit on this a minute. Just let this roll around in your soul for a minute. Because my Spirit is going to do something with what I just taught you that's going to make your life different. It is the Spirit who gives life. And what does he give life to? The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. He takes these hard sayings of Jesus Christ. He helps us think about them in a right way. He gives us a life we wouldn't have otherwise. But I have to give the Holy Spirit time to change me by changing my understanding. And then Christ says, I know some of you don't believe. I know you don't believe. Could I ask you this morning, are you a believer? Do you believe that Jesus Christ was God in a human body? Or do you believe that's just a strange story from the Gospels? See, if you don't believe Jesus was God in a human body, you're not a believer. If he was just another good man walking around doing a few good things and got himself in trouble and got crucified, you're not a believer. There needs to be a change in your soul so it's easy to believe that Jesus Christ is God in a human body. Do you believe that when Christ died on the cross, he forgave everything bad about you? About you. I'm not talking about all of humanity. I'm not talking about other people. I'm talking about you. Do you believe that when Christ bowed his head and gave up the spirit on the cross, he died and forgave every ugly thing you ever did? Do you believe that Jesus teaches us truth from God that we can't get any other way? See, Jesus isn't saying, are you a nondescript person who kind of goes along with the Christian idea? He said, are you a believer? Do you believe he was who he said he was? Do you believe he did what the Bible said he did? Do you believe that his teachings make all the difference in the world in your personal life? Are you a believer? And if you are, do you know that you're a believer because the Father has granted you this gift? In theology, we call this regeneration. There's something about who I am that is dead. We've talked about this before, remember? There's something about my soul that makes me capable of knowing God that's dead. And his spirit comes into me and makes that part of my soul alive again. And because that part of my soul is alive again, the Holy Spirit starts convincing me about who God is and what he wants. But until that is brought to life again, I can't possibly be a believer. I can be a cultural Christian and I can hang around the Jesus show. But I can't be a true believer without God regenerating my heart. And because Jesus never lets it go, he looks straight at his 12. People are leaving. The 12 are looking around and going, man, this doesn't look good. What's going to happen now? And Jesus looked straight at those 12. And he said, you see these other people going away. Do you want to go away with them? Is this a deal breaker for you? What if Christ asked you, do you really want to be my follower? Do you really, really want to do what I teach? Do you really want to use your life the purpose God created you? What if he asked you that? What if he asked it in another way? Is there anything that you would let drive you away from Christ? In my life, I've met people who disappointment drove them away from Christ. They say something to me like this, Doc, I used to go to church. I used to believe all that stuff. But God let this person die when we prayed and we prayed and we believed. And because he let that person die, I'm out. They let disappointment drive them away from Christ. They simply said, if you're not going to do what I want you to do, I'm out. I've known people who let people drive them away from Christ. I meet people all the time who say, I used to go to church, but this or that thing happened, and I was treated poorly, or I was taken advantage of, and now I'm out. I think every one of us have to do a heart check. Do we let sin drive us away from Christ? You know, he shows up and says, I want you to be better. Anybody recognize this? The Holy Spirit shows up and says, I want you to grow in this. I want you to be better. And we get annoyed. We say, when is enough enough? Go pick on one of the bad people. I'm really one of the good guys. No. The Holy Spirit starts saying to me, look, I'm done horsing around with you. I want you to be a better man. I want you to be more patient. And then I get impatient with God. Church? Jesus wants every single one of us to do a real gut check. And he wants us to say, I want you to get serious with yourself. Is your heart changed? Are you able to endure what you have to endure to be a follower of Christ? Or do you have breakpoints that you'll say to Christ, I will go this far with you, but no farther? The pressure is unbearable. Everybody's standing around looking at each other. Nobody really knows what to say. And so Peter says, Lord, we are a little confused. But to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter's talking as the representative of people who Christ really changed their soul. Let's look at this carefully. This is what Peter said. Yeah, following you is hard. Yes, you overchallenge us sometimes. Yes, you make us uncomfortable. But you've wrecked me because I don't see any better options than you. Church, listen what a changed soul says. Yes, Jesus, following you is hard. But I'm wrecked. I can't find any better options. I don't know anyone who offers what you offer. I don't know anyone who has done for me what you've done for me. I don't know anyone who promises me what you promise me. Yes, you're hard to follow, but I don't have any options now. I've given away my options. I belong to you. Church? Have you come to that in your life? Is that who Christ is to you? I don't have any other options. He's changed my soul in the kind of way that no matter what he asks, I'm going to follow because I don't have any other way of living life. I can't understand life without him. Peter said, you have the words of eternal life. He said, Jesus, you say hard stuff. You say hard stuff. But somehow or another, when I hear you say something hard and your spirit changes my heart, I feel like I'm already living the life of the ages. Remember I said eternal life is literally, in the original text, the life of the ages. Eternal life isn't something that starts when you die and go to heaven. Eternal life is something that starts right now. I start living the way I'm going to live forever. And that's now. Jesus challenges me. The Holy Spirit changes my heart. And I move a little bit closer to living the life of the ages. I become more of the person God created me to be. My life makes more sense in light of eternity and not just in my day-to-day doings. Can you hear what Peter's saying? And then he said, I believe and I know that Christ is the Holy One who represents God to humanity. Peter says, I get it. If I walk away from you, I have no contact with God at all. You are my only contact with God. Church, can you identify with Peter? Has your soul been changed? Has Jesus done something in you that makes you a different person? And because you are a different person, you say, yes, Jesus, I find that sometimes you're hard to follow, but I don't have any other options now. I don't know how to even think about life without Christ. Can you identify with that? Or is Jesus just another nice option in your life? You like to have the Jesus option around. Do you really believe that when Christ does his best work in you, your soul changes and little by little, you already begin to live the life of the ages in this broken world? You don't have to wait to get to heaven. He is at work changing us, so little by little, our souls are living the life of the ages as they wear out. Paul said, I know my outside body is wearing out, but I know that my inside person is growing stronger every day in Christ. Can you identify with Peter? And can you say, I don't have any other contact with God other than through Jesus Christ. I have no other contact. It's Christ or I'm godless. These other false religions feel hollow to me. I just can't believe them. It's Christ or nothing. Church, this passage is for people who are religious. The non-believers, they left. This teaching is for people like you and I who have some interest in Christ. And Christ is saying to you, wherever you are on that interest spectrum, you got to move along. You got to be challenged. The Holy Spirit has to change your heart, and you have to become more and more of a follower of Jesus Christ wherever you are in your spiritual development. And there can't be any deal breakers. No deal breakers, church. And so I want to say it's always too soon to give up on Christ because he never gives up on you. Do you get it? He says hard sayings because he never gives up on you. He's challenging you one more time to become more of the person he created you to be. We never give up on him because he never gives up on us.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.